Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand in awe of you tonight. We come in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, quiet down our spirits that we may be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to your church. Thank you for the glory of your word, your people, the blessing of fellowship, the joy of iron sharpening iron, brothers and sisters in fellowship and partnership, knit together in love, speaking the truth in love, with a heart to honor you, Lord. So, Lord, we want you to get the glory out of tonight. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for the topic. Thank you for what we trust that you're going to do tonight, what you're going to start tonight, what you're going to set in motion, what you're going to turn around, what doors will open, what doors that need to be closed will be closed. Because we trust you. Lord, hallelujah, bless your people tonight and bless each soul on this call. Bless the facilitator, the under shepherd. Bless me as I go over the scriptures and try to get the sense of the scriptures and to show your people what you have shown me. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is a glorious day. We thank you. We rejoice and we're glad in it. And, Lord, thank you for the exercise of our bodies and our minds and our limbs. And, Lord, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for grace that keeps on coming. Mercy renewed, hallelujah. And although the outward man perishes, though the outward man gets tired, or although the outward man after a while begins to decline, the inward man, according to your precious word, is renewed day by day. Thank you. Glorify your name. It is in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're in Exodus, the third chapter tonight. The topic is holy ground. And we know the setting. So let's start with verse 1. What I'm thinking is we're going to read verses 1 through 14. I may make a few little remarks as we go. Then I'm going to talk about what we have read. It's only 22 verses in this chapter, but it's really a lot to cover because there's an application for us that we need to get out of this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain, even to Horeb. So, I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So, we find Moses having been on the backside of the desert in the service of his father-in-law, Jethro, for 40 years. He's 80 years old. It's been 40 years since he was a prince in Egypt. It's been 40 years since he has really been able to fellowship with his own brethren. He's there in this scene by himself. He's tending to sheep. He's tending to sheep that he don't even own. He's on the backside of the desert. And think about this, the mountain of God, Horeb. But in order to get to the mountain of Horeb, you got to go through the backside of the desert. Hallelujah. God's people have to be willing to let God take us through some places that we would not have chosen in order for him to talk to us, in order for him to pour out our destiny and purpose in our life, in order for him to fast track where he's trying to take us. Hallelujah. There's nothing spectacular with the setting. He's in desert. He's on the backside of the desert. He's tending to some sheep. The sheep don't even belong to him. He had once been a prince in Egypt. He became a fugitive when he killed an Egyptian and hid that Egyptian in the sand. Hallelujah. There's nothing outward would make you think that God would use him in this place that he was in, this barren place that he was in. He was a faithful soul. Hallelujah. But there was nothing spectacular about his life. There was nothing that indicated that God would use him as the deliverer of his people. And we have to note this, because we're sometimes impressed by what we see. We're impressed by the front side of the desert. The religious displays, not against it, hallelujah. But that's not the whole story, hallelujah. And here's Moses on the backside of the desert in an ordinary scene near an ordinary bush, and then something's about to jump off in his life. Hallelujah. And it is important for us to know that it's not up to us as to when we're going to step up into what God has called. We just have to be prepared. And here, he no doubt never realized at this point that those 40 years in the desert were preparation, just like the children of Israel's 400 years in Egypt was an incubator, and they multiplied, and there was millions of them when they left Egypt. God used tough times, affliction, trouble, things that didn't look like they were going right, as a way of abounding his people, flourishing his people, hallelujah, and getting Moses ready for one of the greatest deliverances in the Old Testament, hallelujah. And there's no inkling that before this moment, he knew the particulars of what his destiny was. We just have to be faithful and walk in what God has shown us. They used to say, as you see the light, walk in that light. Hallelujah. So he led the flock. He's working. He's faithful. Recently, we've talked about stewardship, and he's a steward over these sheep. They don't belong to him. He came to the mountain of God. It's the mountain of God. Even to, and the word Horeb, it means desolate. It's not one of those pretty mountains with all the ice pack or the green, beautiful spruce or pine trees or whatever kind of beautiful green trees on it. It was desolate, but it was the mountain of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not altogether what it looks like. Praise God. Last week, we talked about life in the Spirit. We talked from Galatians 5, used 4 or 5 verses there, used about 8 verses from Romans 7. And then we went to Romans 8 and talked about life in the Spirit. I just want to give that brief reminder of where we've been. And before that, we talked about stewardship. Verse 2, Exodus 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, who? Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. An ordinary bush. And if the angel of the Lord had not been in appearance before him, it would not have been that strange on the backside of a desert for a bush to catch on fire. But here, something supernatural, miraculous, divine, holy, sacred was happening. In what looked like an ordinary piece of ground with an ordinary bush. What are you saying, Pastor? Wherever you are in your life, no matter how ordinary it might be, no matter how tiring it might be, no matter how boring and unspectacular it might be, hallelujah, it's always ripe if you are prayed up. It's always ripe if you've been in travail in your trouble, if you have been calling on God, hallelujah, in the midst of not knowing what to do, hallelujah, in the midst of being confused, in the midst of being stuck on stupid on something, you have told yourself you're not going to do it no more. You have told yourself you're not going to say it no more. You have told yourself you're not going to get all emotional about this or that, or that you're not going to let this person push your buttons to the point you're about to lose whatever little mind you got. Hallelujah. No matter what it is, God can at any moment burst through in your life. As a young man in my 20s, I was in law school. I was a newly wed. I could not talk. And you may not believe me because I talk all the time now. I have a career as a trial lawyer. I'm a judge. I don't have to talk as much as a judge. And as a preacher, as a teacher of God's word, I have to talk. But I couldn't talk back then. I was a little tongue-tied. I had a severe case of stage fright. I spoke low. I hadn't learned how to project my voice back then. And although I was blessed to be able to read and learn stuff and retain information, I couldn't communicate it in any kind of way that would be effective. Not to more than one or two people. Hallelujah. The classes I excelled in in law school were the small group classes, the classes where we counseled people and that kind of thing. But the classes where I had to make presentations, I had to work a little bit harder. It didn't come naturally. So I'm shy. I'm quiet. I can't talk. I'm thinking about becoming a securities lawyer. I'm thinking about going to law to Wall Street. I know that eventually we wanted to come back to Nashville. I'm thinking I'm getting ready to get paid. So I start taking courses like that. But in the course of that, in the middle of that, hallelujah, without any kind of warning, really, I start having dreams about the word of God. And God was speaking to me in dreams. And then we would go to the church where we were, which was a good-sized church in Columbus, apostolic, old bishop, pastor, Bishop Charles Grant, 80, right at 80 years old. And the man could preach. I would go there. And by this time, we had our son was a little baby. And he was bad. Cute, good looking, beautiful baby. But he was bad. And sometimes we just had to let him kick in the floor or whatever. But it wasn't fun. The church people looking at us like that or whatever. But I'm sitting there in church trying to soak in the word, prayerfully asking God to bless me. Hallelujah. And then right there in church, God's giving me unction to stand up and preach. Then God showed everything. Then we would go to services, you know, like they had an afternoon service. And every time in Columbus, every time somebody would pick me, I could be sitting in the back. I could be looking half asleep. They would call me out, bring me up to the front, and prophesy over me about the ministry that God had put in. And I'm thinking, I can't talk. Well, eventually the Lord gave me some more specific guidance. And I talked to the pastor. But before I even told him I was called to preach, he had given me a virtual stranger, a Sunday school class in a good-sized church to teach girls and boys in the fifth and sixth grade. Never taught before. The only office I had ever had in a church at Christ Temple North, where I got saved, when Bishop George Burns was my pastor, was to be chaplain of the young people. So when the young people came together, I led the prayer, right? That's it. Never had taught anything. Never had made any presentations other than what I had to do as part of my schooling. And the God was calling me to preach, and God put on that old pastor's mind, that old bishop's heart, to give a law student who was not called to preach, entrust me with some little children. Evidently, God put something in his heart. He knew, whether he knew I could teach or not, he knew he could trust me with those children. That there wouldn't be no problems. I wasn't going to be mean to him. I wasn't going to act up. I wasn't going to be abusive or anything like that. And God blessed that. God blessed that. Hallelujah. And so the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, a flame of fire. This is the first time we get any kind of inkling that God wanted to talk to Moses. This is the first time that God spoke to Moses. And guess what he's doing? Tending to some sheep on the backside of the desert. And the sheep didn't even belong to him. angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And here's the thing. And Moses said, I will not now turn aside. What happens? When we draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to us. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's a still small voice, but we're too busy to hear it. We're too bored to hear it. We're too preoccupied to hear it. We're too rushed to hear it. We have our expectations so low. Hallelujah. That we wouldn't be able to properly respond if God did speak to us, because we have the expectation. Well, nothing's happened much so far. Why should I even dream that the great God of heaven would want to give me unction, give me a word, use me to minister, call me into the Christian ministry of reconciliation as an ambassador, give me a voice, give me a ministry. Hallelujah. Okay, you know, I'm using the word me a little loosely. It's his ministry. It's his voice, but we are stewards of it. Hallelujah. So he turned aside. We are not listening carefully enough to know when to turn aside. But Moses had plenty of time tending to the sheep. He's not riding in a chariot. He's not dealing with the affairs of state in Egypt. He's not doing all these different administrative duties for the Pharaoh. He's tending to some sheep. There would be hours go by when nothing happened. Hallelujah. Then sometimes it would, might get active, you know, it might be like a wolf or something prowling around. And God was getting him ready. Hallelujah. And God is getting bread of heaven ready. And God is getting each of you ready for what he wants you to do, and what he, but more importantly, what he wants you to be. Who you are in Jesus fuels what God can do with you. Hallelujah. So verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, you see what I'm saying? God responded to Moses turning aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Hallelujah. Called him by name. Praise God. And he said, draw not nigh hither, which hither means here. In other words, hold up. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. And chances are back then he had on sandals. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Hallelujah. Topic is holy ground. Hallelujah. What seems ordinary, what seems barren, what seems far away from where you started out, what seems far away from what you dreamt of. Hallelujah, could very well be holy ground. And the holy ground, you know that the scripture in Matthew 13 and other parts of the gospel where it talks about the sower went forth to sow, and that the seed fell on the good ground. Hallelujah. This is holy ground. Hallelujah. It's ground where you can hear God. It's ground where you can receive the word of God. It's not falling to the wayside on a thorny or stony ground. Hallelujah. There's some holy ground. Your heart has been plowed up, usually by trouble, usually by pain, usually by being overlooked, usually by the fact that people have talked about you so rough, hallelujah, your reputation for whatever that means in our relationship with God is shot. They have put their mouths on you so bad, hallelujah, it makes something in us kind of draw back a little bit. What's the use? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy. Sometimes we're down, but we're never out. Cast down, but not forsaken. God knows how to deal with us. God knows how to use us. God knows how to elevate us. He knows all about us. He knows every mistake we made, every messed up thought we had, every attitude, every lustful feeling, everything we dwelled on that we shouldn't have. Sometimes we dwell on something lustful. Sometimes we dwell on a perceived slight, right? Hallelujah. I had to overcome something, saints. And I hope this is going to bless somebody. I have confidence in that. And I'm not going to call a person's name. Y'all might figure out who he is. But when we were at the homegoing service for my son at a apostolic church up in Gallatin, they had graciously opened their doors for us. They were so ridiculously nice to us. Hallelujah. We had favor with them because my brother-in-law, Jonathan, had favor with those people. Otherwise, I don't think the Bishop Williams knew me from Adam. He's seen my face, but he didn't really know. He knew I was connected to Pastor Driver. Maybe he could put that together. He didn't know me from Adam. And he allowed it. And it was crowded. It was in the middle of the winter. And one of the preachers on the pulpit left. He was kind enough to tell me he had to leave, but no explanation. I don't know why he had to leave. I can't imagine why he had to leave on a Sunday afternoon. I never got any explanation. And here I was being given kind of a little bit of a blow. Hallelujah. Those of you who know me, y'all know, hallelujah, that, you know, I don't quit. Hallelujah. But it hurt. It stung. Stung is the most, it stung a little bit that he left. Didn't really say, well, I have to do this or that. Just said, I have to leave. I mean, there's no reason why we didn't have any kind of problem. We did have a relationship. And I expected him to stay. He left. Well, I had to preach my son's homegoing service. I couldn't let that throw me off. And I did the best I could. I'm not claiming I did a great job. I'm just not claiming that. I just did what I could do in that moment. And I tried not to let it bother me, saints, but it did. Every now and then it would crop back up. I called this minister and had a conversation with him, didn't bring this up, spoke of some other things. I was trying to be a peacemaker. I was trying to reconcile. And plus, I knew that he was upset that we had joined IAM instead of the organization where he holds an office. Just pray with me, y'all. Because somebody's going to get blessed by this. Maybe not tonight. But I'm being open before you. I didn't want a root of bitterness to come up. Because if it had been one of his children in that casket, You couldn't have paid me to walk out of there. But anyway, I was trying to have fellowship with the pastor up in Clarksville and others, and then stuff just kind of got cut off. I did not know what was happening. They were trying to recruit me for the PAW, and I said I was already in something, and I couldn't be a part of two organizations at the same time, and God has led me to be an I Am. And nothing happened. When I would see him, it would just be kind of like not warm. I would be warm because I was genuinely glad and blessed to see him. But it was like no kind of real response. Not an angry response. Not ignoring me, but something was out of whack. So this past Monday, Sister Carol Duncan was so kind to send me a text about this funeral connected to the church where this man ministers. And I knew about that Suffragan Bishop Larry Smith had lost one of his brothers. It was not one that I had known, but one of his younger brothers had passed. I kind of had an idea about when the service was, but it skipped my mind. So Sister Carol was kind enough to send me a text on Monday, and it was that same night at Smith Brothers' funeral. And so I called Elder Brasher and asked him to take care of the prayer call, and I went. I saw him as I first walked in, and his wife, I spoke to them. But I had something joyful about me, that God had allowed me to get through my day. God had allowed me, y'all just listen to me. Somebody's going to get blessed by this. It's not a big spectacular story. It's what happens when you go in travail, when you consider the ground between you and somebody to be holy ground. And you don't want to hold nothing, right? So I came in, got there a little early, spoke to everybody, hugs, handshakes. People seemed to be really glad to see me. Some I hadn't seen in years. People I love, people who seemed to love me, and people who really loved First Lady, but she was not able to go. And so I sat down in not a prominent place, but and I was there to show up. I was there to support. And Suffragan Bishop Larry Smith has been a big brother to me in the gospel. There were times when I wasn't preaching anywhere else, I could go over there and preach. And so we always had that relationship, just straight up. We knew how to talk to each other. So I hugged him and everything. And he was good. God was working on him. So we get in the funeral, and the person I'm talking about was officiating. Fine job. The family gave tributes, beautiful poem, beautiful. The singing was beautiful. Everything was good. And then this man who had walked out of that service called me up because on the program they had a place for ministers to speak. And I'm the only minister he called up. There were a few others from his church there, but he called me up, I guess, because I'm a pastor. And I went up there, and I just spoke. Didn't say anything spectacular. I just spoke from my heart. I spoke from the tenderness of the love I have for God's people. I spoke about what it feels like to lose a sibling. said some of the stuff y'all have heard me say at other funerals about God does not change, but he gets sweeter as the days go by. I thank God for Brother Gary Smith, who had read scripture and prayed, and I told him he did a beautiful job, and he did. And I honored both preachers in the pulpit, Suffragan Bishop Smith, and this other preacher I told you about. And I went and sat down. I knew something was happening. I knew God was moving. So after the service, you know, I could have walked out, but I went on to speak to the ministers in the pulpit, the two ministers in the pulpit. And I spoke to this minister where I had this little sting, sting is the right word, with. And he said, Pastor Perkins, come see me. I said, well, I sure would like to. And I said, I love you. And I called his name. He said, I love you too. Well, I needed that. The ground we walk is holy. We're not authorized to hold stuff. We got to figure out a way to show up and let God do something. I didn't know what would happen. I was disheartened when I walked in because he had that same look of almost looking through me that he does sometimes. And I just didn't think I had done a thing. I couldn't figure it out. So there's hope that that'll be worked out, but that thing is gone, 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 gone. It's not going to ever come back. But we got to draw near. We got to travail in prayer. We got to trust God when we don't see nothing. Hallelujah. And see, and then God can unlock some things for us. Hallelujah. So if you got something, even if it's just a little stinger, hallelujah, ask God to show you how to deal with it. Because sometimes going to the person is not necessary because it may not be anything in specific. You know, nothing has really happened. All he did from all appearances was go somewhere else where maybe he had a prior engagement or something. So it's not like he did something that could overtly that would require us to have a one-on-one conversation. You just had about that. Just had to be led of the Lord and let God work that thing. And just think about Moses on the backside of the desert. Man, I had to leave Egypt. God bless me. Hallelujah. I've got a family out here. I've been out here 40 years. My hair is gray now. Hallelujah. When I was first came in the word, they talked about I'm a proper child. And I got miraculously saved out of the Nile River. And Pharaoh paid my own mama to nurse me. And although I should have been killed according to the decree of favor on my life, praise God, the best of education, the best of food, praise God, grew up in Pharaoh's house. But I had a fire in me, praise God. And God calls people with a fire, praise God. Hallelujah. I had a fire in me. And when I saw those Egyptians abusing one of my Hebrew brothers, I lost it. And I killed him. And I hid him in the sand. And then he found out next day or so that the thing was known. And he had to go on the lam. He had to run away. He had to be a fugitive, and God formed him when things were not looking good. God formed him when he was not at the forefront. God formed him when he was in obscurity. God formed him and developed him. God personally formed him and developed him while he was out in the desert on the backside, on the west side of the desert. a place where nobody would have thought, hallelujah, that there could be development of one of the greatest prophets, one of the greatest deliverers the world has ever known. And he turned aside to see. And he said, here am I. We got to answer the call, y'all. Hallelujah. Don't say, here am I, send somebody else. Don't say, here am I, let somebody else do. Don't say, here am I, I'm enjoying being a spectator. Hallelujah. There'll be times when you will be what looks like you're a spectator, but God will use that. God will use that to bless you, to bring you into a place that nobody would have dreamed you could have been. Holy ground, verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am. It is 40 minutes after. I'm sorry, that personal story took up a lot of time. I'm sorry about that, saints. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He had the God-given modesty. He had the reverence and awe of God that we all have to have. And you can't fully step into your purpose until you have that awe of God. If you just riding the gift that God has given you, and you are not in humility and obeisance and worship and humility before God, surrender, yieldedness, you can never get to the full point of where God wants you to be. He was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Listen to this, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. This is what travail produces. Hallelujah. Turn slaves into a great nation. Hallelujah. I have heard their cry. Hallelujah. It looks like God didn't hear you. It looks like God didn't respond to your tears. It looked like, praise God, when things were going south, praise God, and you didn't know what to do, and you felt alone in your trouble, your dysfunction, or whatever, that nobody really understood, and nobody really cared, and maybe no human being did, hallelujah, for a season. God will send somebody. But in the meantime, God knows how. And it's some people who walk among us that God will deal directly with. Hallelujah. And then some God will most likely use another person. Either way, it's God. But there are some people who have a special anointing on their life that God will deal with directly. Hallelujah. There ain't no use of you getting in their face, trying to say this and that, and you ought to do this and all that. You should have the wisdom and discernment to say, God's got to talk to this person directly. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows intimately. Hallelujah. I know their sorrows better than they know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land to a good land and enlarge into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusite. Hallelujah. And they all have to yield to the Israelites. All these ites have to yield to God's people. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come before me. Oh, hallelujah. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. Hallelujah. 400 years is a long time. Hallelujah. But God is faithful. Come now, therefore, I will see thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mightest bring forth my people. I'm sorry, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Yeah, Moses, sheep herder for somebody else's sheep on the backside of the desert. I'm going to use you to bring all of these people, all of my people, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. That's all we need to know. And if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Certainly I will be with this, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mount. Hallelujah. We're gonna bring you full circle back to the first time I ever talked to you, Moses. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Yahweh, sometimes translated Jehovah, the God who's more than enough. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. I can't really get too much into that. It's so deep. But if we want God to propel us into our destiny, we must first be willing to be prepared by God in the west, in the wilderness, in the desert. Remember Saul chased David in the southern part of that region where there were four different deserts. Remember me preaching about a year ago that sometimes David would wake up in the morning and not know which one of those deserts he was in. He was under such duress and being harassed. Moses was Jewish. He was a Levite, the tribe of the priest, the tribe of the ministers around the tabernacle, a prince in Egypt. But none of those things qualified him to really be used by God to deliver the nation of Israel from Egypt. Basically, he had to be emptied of all of that, of what looked like qualifications. Served the priest of Midian as a keeper of sheep and a laborer in order to be qualified or ready in the sight of God. And the sheep didn't belong to him. They belonged to his father-in-law. As we talked about recently, Moses was faithful over a few things before God prepared him to be used as Israel's deliverer. How ordinary is this? An 80-year-old man, 40 years removed from being a prince in Egypt, backside of the desert, tending to sheep. Hallelujah. Tended to some nasty sheep that he didn't even own by himself. No one to talk to, no amusement, no checkers, not nothing. And then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared out of the bush. The bush was on fire and it was not consumed. Moses turned aside to see. And as he drew near to God, God drew near to him. Hallelujah. God's church has to be shaped and formed like clay in the hands of the master potter. Hallelujah. In the hidden part of the desert, in the hidden part of the prayer closet, in the times of travail and crying out, in the times when something like what I told y'all about there being a sting, I wasn't proud of that, y'all. Hallelujah. I wasn't proud that I had that sting and it would go away and come back. And then on Monday, the Lord let me know it's gone. It'll never come back. Praise God. I just showed up. I just showed love. I trusted God. And I asked God to take that thing away from me. Hallelujah. Well, we got so much. Isaiah 64:7-8 says, "And there's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquity." Sin is a separator. "But now, O Lord," verse 8, Isaiah 64, "thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thine hand." We got to get to that point where we turn aside, we draw near to the Lord and let him do. Hallelujah. Remember, we talked about Horeb meaning desolate or desert. And I'm thinking about Isaiah 53:2 when it says, it's talking about Jesus, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of" what kind of ground? Dry ground. "He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." This thing is not external. It is eternal. Hallelujah. "And whether we are hurt, confused, stuck on, stupid, afflicted, not altogether, y'all know what that means. God is there, and so is his power and glory and his mighty and outstretched hand." Hallelujah. Paul put it like this, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient." This is Jesus talking to Paul. "My grace is sufficient." Not will be. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." In verse 5 in Exodus 3, God told Moses to take off his shoes because the ordinary barren ground where he was actually holy ground. It didn't look like holy. It didn't look like much. When our heart is yielded to ground, to God, when our heart is laid bare before a holy God, when our hearts become good ground, fertile ground, holy ground, a place where the ordinary and unspectacular can be appreciated as sacred, we can receive God's precious word, God's precious seed. As we hunger and thirst after righteousness, he fills us, even on the backside of the desert. I didn't cover the whole chapter, but there's holy ground. And none of us deserve any Holy Ground. None of us deserve any opportunity to stand before a holy God, to talk to him, to have him talk with us, to have him hear our cries, for him to be moved and be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But yet he does it. Hallelujah. Questions, comments, brief testimonies. Floor is open.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Sister Nia.
Hey. Just a quick, I guess it's like a comment. I guess I don't really know. But crazy thing, last night I was, you know, I always kind of find a movie to cut it on that eventually ends up watching me or whatever. But so scrolling through Netflix and I saw The Prince of Egypt. And I was like, they used to be like my favorite movie when I was a kid. So I was like, ooh, and it was like, it's leaving soon. So I'm like, let me watch this, you know, a couple times before they take it off of here because I haven't watched it in a minute. So watching it like now as an adult and like, you know, knowing God way more than what I did as a kid and things like that just kind of opened my eyes a little bit more to certain things. And I was able to kind of, you know, relate it a little bit more to life rather than just kind of watching the movie. So I didn't even know that that was from the book of Exodus, but in the beginning of the movie, it tells you that it's coming from, you know, it tells you where it starts and things like that. So as soon as you came on and you said we were reading from, I was like, thank you, God, because I told myself last night, I was like, when I'm at work and I get some downtime, I'm going to read Exodus because, you know, I know the movie, but I've never actually read the book. And so I was like, I'm going to read it, but I never got the time to. So I just thank God that he keeping me aligned with, you know, his word and everything. And I always tell you when, like, my dreams or something like that always align with what you come across. So I really appreciate that. One thing that really stood out to me in the movie, though, was when Moses found out who he was and, you know, found out where he came from or whatever, he you know, he saw the hieroglyphics on the wall and it showed that, you know, they were throwing the baby boys away and things like that into the crocodile pit. And, you know, Pharaoh looked at him. He was like, you know, they were just slaves. And Moses instantly ran away. And he was like, and to me, it was just kind of like a, you know, to Pharaoh, they were just slaves or whatever. But like you said, God let it be known, like, those are my people, you know? So it really don't matter what people say about you, what they call you. You know, none of that, like, it matters what God says you are, and we are his people at the end of the day. So I just, again, thank God for keeping me aligned with his word and just for him to continue to show me things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Neal. God bless you. Anybody else? Questions, comments, or brief testimonies? Topic tonight was Holy Ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. And Lord, use what you allowed me to say tonight to bless your people, whether they get it tonight or later. But Lord, minister what I said tonight under your unction and anointing and leading, so that somebody can get a breakthrough, that somebody, hallelujah, might find, hallelujah, a way to turn aside and see so you can talk to them more intimately. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for the preciousness and power of your infallible word. And Lord, thank you for strength. Thank you for measure of health. We ask your blessing. We ask your blessing on the Brashers. Sister Brasher had an aunt, Linda, Sister Linda, to pass away. Bless that situation. Bless the family. Bless Brother Jesse Holden, Elder Holden's brother, who has been sick. Bless Brother Mike Holden, who had surgery on his foot. Lord, heal it. Let him have no more trouble with that. Let your deliverance and healing and perfect soundness in his body, hallelujah, and let your healing virtue be on his foot and his whole body. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, others, Brother Jeremy Jackson, touch him, bless him. Others among us, connected to us, Lord, we need your touch. Bless Sister Cartwright, Lord. She's a faithful soul. She's got a sweet spirit. And Lord, she presses on sometimes when she's not feeling well. And Lord, you have kept her. So Lord, continue to heal her and bless your people. Bless all your saints one by one, Lord. You know, Lord, when I'm in my own prayer time, I mention their names. And Lord, bless them, all those on this call. Lord, whatever they may need, whatever they may face, whatever they may have to go through, Lord, we ask that you bless. Whatever the doctors might be saying, whatever the bank account is saying, Lord, step in. Do something miraculous. And Lord, if they've got something in their heart that they can't shake, take it away. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night, nice. Pastor. Great lesson.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you all.
Good night. Love y'all.
Good night, everyone.
Good Bible study, Pastor. God bless. Love y'all.
Thank you, Brother Vic. God bless y'all.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread. Living Bread. Please spread the word about today's broadcast. Living Bread. The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.